genome-wide association studies from the project Genomics in Medicine. Genome-wide association studies are just a single type of study that is performed in genomic medicine. However, because it has reached such a great impact on our understanding of genetics of both common and rare diseases in the late years, we decided to include this short audio lecture devoted just to this type of studies. So the genome-wide association studies, or also whole genome association studies, are truly genomic approach to an old concept of an association study. An association study, as you probably remember, is a study seeking for an statistical association between a genetic variation and a trait, be it a physiological trait like height, weight, number of red blood cells, or a disease. The simplest setup of an association study in its classical form is a case control study, practically meaning that we would have to gather two groups of people, one showing the trait of interest and one with the absence of the trait. In case of a qualitative or discrete trait like a disease, this would be cases or patients showing the disease, let's say people with a certain type of cancer, versus the controls, which would be the people without the given trait. A very important methodological point arises, which is the matching of the cases and controls, because what we are about to do is to compare frequencies of genetic variations between the two groups, and by differences in frequencies we are going to try to identify the genetic variations responsible, at least in part, for the variation of the phenotype of the trait. So if we allow the two groups to differ too much in a matter of, let's say, sex representation, in matter of age distribution, so then we would be confounding the true difference driven by the disease or trait by these differences, and we will be in our genetic analysis picking up the differences between men and women, old and young, different ethnical groups, rather than what we are planning to do, that is to identify solely the variants that are distinct between the people with the disease and without. So cases and controls should be ideally matched for all other phenotypes, or at least as much matched as possible. So this is a example of a classical association study that was usually run with a candidate gene or candidate gene variation, and by statistical comparison of frequencies of individual alleles or genotypes, we were able to distinguish whether these variations are indeed
somehow related to the manifestation of the disease, or to the severity of the disease, or the variation of the studied trait. There were several problems with these studies that are presented in the audio lecture Dynamics of the Multifactorial Disease. This rather simple concept of case control study has now met the technological advancement of DNA genotyping. Classical association and linkage studies relied on typing of several hundreds of markers, usually of a microsatellite type, meaning the short repeats, short tandem repeats of 2, 3, 4 nucleotides dispersed throughout the genome. However, the number of markers was far insufficient for coverage of the whole 3.7 billion bases of the genome. Therefore, several companies produced platforms that would enable, and that are now enabling, typing of much more markers across the genome. The current number is about 1 million markers in one sample on one so-called microarray. Microarray is a piece of material, glass, other material, that has on its surface several million nucleotide, oligonucleotide probes hybridized, prepared for the DNA of the proband to be assessed. So in one sample, on using one microarray, you can, using the right technology, in the matter of hours identify several hundred thousands or even over 1 million of polymorphisms, mostly at this time of single nucleotide polymorphism type, SNP. This of course gives much greater coverage of the human genome. Why do we think we do not need to have the 3.7 billion bases? And this coverage actually represents, as we think today, most of the variation of the human genome. You can say, wait, you just said there's 3.7 billion base pairs, and now we are talking about 1 million of markers. But of course, this has to reflect that the variation of human genome is not equally distributed throughout the genome, but the idea that is incarnated in the HapMap project is that the human genome consists of blocks of DNA that do not recombine almost at all. However, those blocks are separated by nucleotides or loci that, on the other hand, recombine a lot more relatively to those blocks. So having 1 million markers across human genome can therefore cover most of the human variation at the level of DNA. So back to our genome-wide association studies, we still have our group of controls, we still have our group of cases with cancer, Alzheimer's disease, or high blood pressure, whatever the trade of interest is, we have those groups matched, we have them sufficiently large, counting in thousands of people per group, and each individual in control group and in case group is then genotyped by these new microarrays. So now we have, let's say, several thousand people times 1 million genetic data points. So you can understand that the bioinformatics is necessary here, and with higher level statistics to compare the frequencies of alleles in the control and case groups. If after all the proper treatment, mathematical and statistical treatments, we find that some of the genotypes or the alleles are far more frequent in cases than in controls, we can speculate or we can propose a hypothesis that these SNPs, these polymorphisms, have something to do with the disease in question. For sure, sometimes the answer may not be as obvious because these are not candidate genes, so you may find your best hit, so to say, in a region of a gene that has never been connected to such a disease before, which is exactly what has happened for several common diseases. Or you can find your best hit in a region of a DNA that is completely gene-less. There's no gene around, it's a gene desert. For sure, you are aware that the whole length of DNA, or out of the whole length of DNA, the genes form something between 1% and 3%, and the 97% of the DNA are not protein coding genes. So for sure you may end up in a region like this. So this is where the science really starts. But again, back to the principle, we are comparing the frequency, and if, let's say, there is the opposite is true, that some alleles are overrepresented in the controls group and are suspiciously missing in the cases, that could be a protective genetic variation for that particular disease, and so on. One of the major statistical issues here, and we are not going to go into deep statistics, is the multiple testing issue. Because you are testing 1 million or several hundred thousand variations, so you are doing several hundred thousand tests considering only one genetic model. And of course, if you do something several hundred thousand times, just by chance, you will get a positive result. So the statistics is then designed to filter out the true positive from false positive, and the best hits are then claimed as associated or significantly associated to the trait, to a disease. This has been done for many complex diseases now in the recent years, like type 2 diabetes, stroke, nicotine dependence, Parkinson's disease, type 1 diabetes, lung cancer, ADHD, pulmonary fibrosis, urinary bladder cancer, prostate cancer, rheumatoid arthritis, schizophrenia, and many, many Crohn's disease and many other diseases. So this new method has been applied, and if you want just to have a kind of gist of all what has been found, just go to the HTTP to the website genome.gov, G-O-V, and there is a section dealing just with genome-wide association studies, and you have an outline of the main results that has been published in the scientific literature so far. So this is the outline of the genome-wide association studies that has been so popular and so helping in genetics of complex disease in the recent years. Thank you for your attention.